day of Easter is Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.' And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaimed these days, 'You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness.'" This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. I want to begin by talking about something I've mentioned several times in some of our adult Bible studies, and that is what I call the devolution of religion. We live in a world where anthropologists and historians and philosophers try to convince us that religion is something that has evolved, like everything else supposedly has evolved in this universe. But that doesn't fit the facts at all. And so the beginning of my sermon, or the three parts you might say, are first the beginning of true religion, the falling away from true religion, and the returning to true religion. And that's where we get to Acts chapter 3 and to Peter's great, this is his second sermon after the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Well, let's begin with the beginning of true religion. True religion begins with creation and a creator. There's no doubt about this. The evidence is overwhelming. When you look at just a few things, for example, the constants, the physical constants of the universe, such as the charge on an electron, the velocity of light, the force of gravity, and 100 other physical constants like those, they are incredibly, unusually, and amazingly appropriate for this universe and the life which this universe produces. When you look at the complexity of a living cell, it screams for a designer and a creator. When you look at the way we human beings are, our intelligence, our feelings, our sense of morality, our thoughts about God, it only affirms what the Bible says, that God created human beings in his own image. When you look at the infinite and constantly unfolding of the knowledge of nature, scientists, the more they know, the more they don't know, reality again proves that the world is created by an infinite and omniscient God. As one great scientist said, Christian scientist said, we are simply following God's thoughts after him. So true religion begins with God as our creator. Even when sin entered into the world, human beings knew their creator and began to worship him in this way. They worshiped God with repentance. They worshiped God with forgiveness based on sacrifices. And they worshiped God in new obedience that is motivated by this faith given in repentance and forgiveness. That's the true religion that was the religion of Adam and Eve and of Noah and of Moses and of all of Israel. That's the true religion that continues even to this day. But not everybody believed that true religion. And in many ways, people began to deviate and religion began to devolve. One of the first ways it began to devolve was when people stopped repenting of their sins. They wanted a God who rewarded them for their good. And so sacrifices were no longer for forgiveness or thanksgiving, but they became bribes to earn God's favor, to get rewards of health, crops, defense from enemies, and things like that. Beyond that, people who stopped repenting also stopped obeying. And what God called sins became virtues in their minds, particularly hatred. And so they gave up the idea that there is only one God, so that if there were one God, then that would mean we would have to love all people because all people would have only one God. But now people began to divide up their gods, and as they warred with one another, so their gods warred with each other. The devolution and deviation from the one true religion. And finally, it came to the point when people stopped repenting, stopped looking to sacrifice and forgiveness, stopped focusing on new obedience by faith, and even reached this point where we are today, when they now think of themselves as God, themselves as their Messiah. They control their destiny, and they will fight anything, natural or divine, that stands in their way. That's the devolution of religion around us. And what we're reading in Acts chapter 3 is Peter stepping up and calling Israel, who itself had in many ways deviated from its own true religion, back to this religion of repentance. Notice his emphasis in his sermon on repentance and of forgiveness for the sake of sacrifice, in this case, the sacrifice of Christ. And notice the new life, the refreshment that God gives in a new way of living that glorifies God. Let's go back to that moment, that day, when Peter and John were walking up to the temple. Now, it was the ninth hour, it was the hour of prayer, and this is interesting. The first Christians, they were all Jews. Thousands of them have been baptized. They recognize Jesus as the longed-for, ancient, promised Messiah. They still worshiped in the temple because the temple worship was really no different than Christian worship. It was that same worship of old repentance, forgiveness, and new life. And so there was no problem for them to go to the temple to worship. But on this particular day, there was this poor man who had been crippled. In the fourth chapter, we learn he was 40 years old. Now, just imagine this man's life. Every day, either his family or his friends had to pick him up on some kind of a litter and carry him to the temple. They wanted to carry him to the outskirts of the temple because people were going to worship. And one of the things that they were to do out of their new obedience was to help those who were poor and in sad circumstances like this man was. He probably shared some of those few coins that he was given every day with his family and friends who diligently carried him every day back and forth to the temple. And so here he was asking for some more money, and Peter says he doesn't have any silver or gold to give him, but this day he had something even better to give. And that was the miracle of healing. And he told him to rise up and walk and reached out his hand and help lift him, but he didn't really need to. The man leapt up and began praising God. And what's really special about this man was his first steps. His first steps were to go into the temple, clinging on to Peter. He now was a full recipient of that old religion, that one true religion, the religion of repentance and forgiveness and new life. Praise praising and glorifying God. Now, this caused a tremendous stir among the people, and I even wonder myself, did that hour of prayer, that ninth hour of prayer, maybe it got interrupted. Maybe everything sort of shut down in the temple a little bit because crowds started gathering around Peter and John. And Peter knew this was an opportunity for him to carry forth and to call Israel back to that one true religion. And he did so with that second of his famous sermons. In it, he points out how this has always been what was taught in the Bible. He mentions Moses. Moses, who said there would be a greater prophet. Well, what prophet has ever been greater than Moses? There is only one that qualifies for that distinction, and that would be Jesus of Nazareth. He mentions Samuel and all the other prophets after them. These prophesied, and this is the key point that Peter's making, a Messiah who would suffer and die. And this is, again, the very heart of that ancient true religion, sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. Peter pointed out, you killed the author of life. When they traded, they could have chosen Barabbas, as Pilate offered to them. They chose a murderer instead of the holy and righteous Son of God. And this is a tremendous, tremendous mystery. How could God die? God cannot die. And yet, somehow, in this mystical union between true God and true man in Jesus, God gave this world the ultimate sacrifice of his life, his son's life, for the forgiveness of our sins. And it is this true religion that brings true forgiveness and true new life to all people. This was the beautiful thing that happened that day when Peter rose to preach and to teach and to give people back what God had always wanted them to have. If we live in our world today and we see all kinds of deviations away from the truth, like Peter, we need to stand and call forth this ancient truth. Call forth this simple message. Repent of your sins. Look for the forgiveness that God alone offers in his Son, Jesus Christ. And in that forgiveness, live a new life, which may include a healing like we see in the man who was crippled there, or many other ways that God will bless us. For where there is forgiveness, as the Catechism says, there is life and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise.